Title of our lesson today is The Invaluable Fruit of Senior Citizens. Now our devotional and background study comes from Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 and 4. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry, and will deliver you. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class?
Our lesson today is entitled The Invaluable Fruit of Senior Citizens. And it comes from the 92nd Division of Psalms. Now, we don't know who it was that authored this psalm. They are 73 of the psalms were written by David. The 61 of them were written by unknown people. And so I think this one probably falls into that category because it doesn't give us an idea of who it was that wrote it. I also found out during this study that something I don't think I knew is that Moses wrote the 90th Psalm. So anyway, that's beside the point. The reading comes from the 92nd Division, 8th verse through the 15th. And it says, But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. Now, this is a praise psalm or song. And it references the Sabbath day, but I don't know what that has to do with the Sabbath day, but it is a praise song that was probably sung on that day. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thy enemies, O Lord, for lo, thy enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn, or strength, shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn, which is actually translated as a wild ox. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. My eye also shall see my desire on my enemies. And my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that he planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Now, this reading kind of stretches out into several different areas here, but I think what the writer of this lesson is wanting to dwell on is the older people, which was mentioned in the 14th verse. But before we get to that point, let me say that a lot of this seems to be pointed at people who continually serve God. And in that continuation of serving God, you grow older and you are able, through your experience along with your age, to see more of what it is that God has in store, not only for you, but for his people. And I think the Bible teaches that should be instilled in others, other people that we come in contact with. We use our experience in ways that would lead them either to God or give them directions once they have found God. By staying true to God, we are able to better discern his plan. In the 54th Division of Psalms, David said, I'll just kind of run over this real quickly. David said that he was being pursued by strangers trying to kill him. But in the 7th verse of the 54th Division, He says, "For he hath delivered me out of trouble, all trouble, and my eye has seen his desire upon my enemies." In other words, David is close enough to God that he's able to see what the outcome is going to be. Because that comes, I think, through experience. When we were first saved, no matter how old you are, when you're first saved, you may not understand God's plan precisely. It takes study. It takes working. It takes gaining that experience that you're able to show people what it is that you have and what it is that God's plan is. There's a lot of people out here walking around that think that they know God's plan. They put words in his mouth, you might say. They reorganize the scriptures. They pronounce them in ways that pertain to what their desires are. But it's only God's people, I believe, that can truly discern the truth that is found here in the scriptures. And by finding that and by knowing that, we're able to grow in mercy and grace under God, and are able to better discern what he wants for us or what he wants for this nation. And knowing that, I think we're better able to, we would be better able to worship God. That we find that getting back now to the elderly, the older people, in the 14th verse, it says, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age." In other words, it's not just the younger people. Your whole life, you're capable of bringing forth fruit for God. Now, in the 7th chapter of Matthew and the 17th verse, Jesus said, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." In other words, by your deeds, what it is that you do, what you make of your life. That's something that we all, I believe, should consider. Is our life and what we make of it and how we present ourselves to the world. Not every child of God presents himself to the world in a manner that would give honor and glory to God. I mean, that's just a fact of life. I'm not talking about sinners. I'm talking about God's own people. Not every one of God's people lives a life that would bear good fruit. There are instances, and I'm sure maybe hundreds and thousands of instances, where even a child of God can bring forth bad fruit and do bad deeds. In other words, so to the point that people recognize that and can see that. But the lesson we get out of this praise to God is that our whole life can be an example to somebody. Somebody. Now, we may not know who that somebody is, but it can be an example to a complete stranger. It can be an example to somebody in our own families. It can be an example that would lead somebody to the foot of the cross. But we have to put an effort in that. We have to work. A tree can't just stand there and not grow and you expect it to bear fruit. That tree has to grow before any fruit is born. Well, the same thing is with God's people. We have to grow in order to put out good fruit. And I think that our service to God each and every day of our life is an encouragement to those around us that they can see our growth. That's what people need to see. They need to see our growth. And the older we get, I feel that the more responsibility. Maybe you don't sit that way, but the older you get, the more responsibility you have to the younger people, to show them, not say that, well, they're out there, they've got to make their own way. That's true to a certain extent, they have to make their own way. But looking at us as an example, knowing that each day of our life we stand and try to be true to God, knowing that, they can see that that way can go throughout their life, whereas they can serve God and become more richer by that service to God. And it says to show that the Lord is upright. That is, I think, what we need to do, is to show people, young and old, it makes no difference, that the Lord is just and He's upright. And excuse me. Having served God all our lives, the older we get, the easier it becomes to discern what God's plan is, I think. You know, when we're young, we got a lot of things out there in this world that are placed before us. And in a lot of cases, as young people, we have a tendency to follow after a lot of the stuff of the world. I mean, that's just a natural part of growing. But as we grow older, I think we learn that we are or can grow closer to God and better understand what his plans are for His elect, for us. And we need to understand that the aged are there to ease the path of the young. And that's the way it's always been. When I was growing up, I looked to my aunts and my uncles and my grandmother especially, because of course when I was young they were ancient. You know, now I look back on it, they weren't near as old as what I thought they were at the time, but their purpose in life was to serve God. That's what they lived their life for. And they set an example. And not just to me, but to other people, because I've heard it from other people. But they set an example. And they bore fruit even into their old age. I can remember my grandmother when she was, she was probably in her, now see, I'm going to say she was in her 70s, and now I'll be 70 this year. But anyway, she was in her 70s, and to me, she was just anxious. And sitting in the A women's corner and praising God. I mean, that's something that goes with me. Then I remember as even she got older into her 80s, she came to live with my parents and they fixed a place for her. And I would go down there, and I've told y'all this before, I'd go down there to sit and talk with her, and she didn't know who she was, hardly. She definitely didn't know who Mama was. But she knew who I was. I never could figure that out. She knew who I was, but she didn't know who Mama was. She thought Mama was still a baby. But she would sit down there and read her Bible. And I'd go down there and sit with her. And she would read her Bible and tell me about her being saved. Now that has stuck with me all these years. That no matter what kind of condition she was in, she was able to talk about God and to tell about being saved. Now that's a powerful message right there for somebody who doesn't even know who she is. And that's an example, and that's a fruit that she bore. If to nobody else, to me. And that meant something. And I still carry that memory. And only wish that I could be half the Christian that my grandmother was. Only wish I could do half the good that she that she did in her life, and how she loved God, and how she loved worshiping Him and going to church. And those things bring back good memories. And today, those memories are still there, but she's gone. And now here we are. We're moved up into this generation that we're in here. And we still have the same responsibilities. And that is to live a life that people can see something in what we have. There's no doubt about it that with my aunts and my grandmother, you could see what they had, that they had something in their life. Something was there that was different from what the world presented. There was no doubt in your mind. When my grandmother would get up and make a talk, you could feel it. It was just a powerful scene to see her stand up, frail as can be, could hardly stand up, but get up and stand and praise God for His love and for His mercy. And those are the invaluable fruits of senior citizens. And we have that responsibility. It's our generation now. We have this responsibility to carry this message on. This is the praise that this writer was giving God. The praise that all the people around about, all of his people, all of God's children, would praise God and give Him honor and glory and be a shining example to those that's coming on after them, that they might see that there's something in what we have, something in what we say, something in what the Scriptures have to say. And so our lesson is that we as elderly or older people, I'm not going to say Terry and Lisa are elderly, or Jimmy and Susan. I said, but there are some older ones here. And I'll be 70. And I know there's some here that are older than I am. But we still have something to give. We still have something to give. And y'all coming along behind us, y'all still have something to give. Something to give the world as an example of what God's mercy is like. And to live a life that would be a shining example of what that blessing can be like. Because we know, we've experienced it. Even the younger people, you guys, have experienced the blessings that God can give out when we grab a hold on and serve Him to the best of our ability. So, with all the people that I have now insulted, that's my lesson. Does anybody have anything to say?
Well, I heard a guy leave this morning. He said, you can read your Bible, but I said, a lot of people don't read the Bible. They read me and you. We should live as an example. But they read us. How what we do and what we say.
That's a good point, Don. The Bible is there for a purpose. But like Don said, we're here for a purpose too. And there's a lot of people that don't read the Scriptures. And even if they read the Scriptures, they may not understand the Scriptures. But maybe they can understand something that we do. And maybe understand why it is that we do it. So you're right. There's a world of people out there that don't. That don't read the Scriptures. Anyone else?
Even at my age, I feel like I don't have that much time left. You know, the older you get, I guess you feel like you don't have that much time left to work for the Lord. You don't have that much time left to try to do something for the Lord, because you know you've already lived longer than what you've got to live in the future, if that makes sense. I feel that way. You know, if we don't have that much time left, and I mean, we need to be busy.
That's right.
We need to be trying to reach people, I mean, as many people as we can.
And not be so discouraged because there's other people out there. There's a world of people. And I'm talking about God's people. That this is the furthest from their mind. The furthest thing from their mind. And we don't need to get discouraged by it. We just need to keep plodding on and doing what God would have us do. things do, because you're right. This ain't going to go on forever.
So what do you think in verse 14? It means they shall be fat.
That's not.
That's not. They'll be blessed. Blessed.
Actually, I'll tell you what I think it means. It's still talking about fruit. And so fruit is good to be, is good when it's fresh and plump and ripe. And that's what I think it's talking about. It's talking about the fruit in its ripest stage as being plump, not us being fat. Even though that would be a close connection there, because as we get older, but when a fruit is at its ripest, that's when it's fat and flourishing. It's good. It's good to eat. It's good to look at. It's good to have. And that's an example, I think, that he's just said for us, that bearing this fruit, because here again, remember, there's two. There's an evil fruit and a good fruit that can be presented. And we should ever strive to present that good part of the tree, the fat part. Now see, that part's something else. I see my grandmother. The fat part of the meat was the best for her. She lived eating fat, and it just used to just make me absolutely sick to watch her cut off a roast, all this jailed fat and stuff, and she just went on and on about it. Like my other grandmother ate chicken feet. Who ever heard anybody eating chicken feet? They didn't let anything go to waste. Not a thing. Anyway, I really got off the point there. But my mother's mother thought fat was the greatest thing going. And that's kind of what this is talking about. It's talking about the plump, good-looking fruit, the best thing going. Anyone else?
Well, Bert, I like to say, no matter what our age, we need to all realize somebody's watching us.
Thank you, Jimmy. You put that a lot better than I did.
Somebody's watching us. That was a lesson I thought on the day of, there towards the end, we talked. He said, I'm not leaving you much. And he was talking about money. But I sit here rich for it this morning just for the neighbors.
Exactly.
The way that he raised me.
That's exactly right. And,
And a lot of people have come across Jim Hicks' life. It's a blessing that I've watched.
Right. See, that's the thing. My grandparents never had anything. But they were rich beyond measure.
I used to tell Dad, I said, well, why should I didn't do that? I saw Brother So-and-so doing this. I heard Brother So-and-so say this bad word or this or that. He looked at me and he said, son, he said, your daddy going to let you down. Keep your eyes on the Lord, he won't. I heard that message preached to me several times.
Yeah, that's right.
God is on the Lord, that's the only one that won't let you down.
That's right. Now you see, Jimmy, that's those fruits.
Yeah.
That are left behind, that we can feast on at different times in our life. And that's a good thing. To feast on those fruits that bring good memories to us. Anyone else? Y'all look shocked by the eating chicken feet.
They probably got used to eating that because if they had children and family, you know.
That's all they got.
They let everybody else eat the rest of it, and they had what was left. They probably got used to eating it.
My grandmother was. She's a grandmother. Cut the toes off and boil them things up. Did you?
Boil the stuff is pretty much period and run all the germs out of
it. I don't care.
The thoughts.
I don't care what you do to them. I pass. It's amazing what people have done. Anyone else?
I've been in the house with a book of chickens, and it smelled pretty good in his cooking, but I didn't really...
You thought that smelled good? Something was wrong with your smell. Ooh, wee, chitlins would, it would make the leaves turn brown on the trees.
My brother used to eat the head of the chicken.
Yeah, yeah. You don't leave nothing to waste. It's amazing.
I just put the good Lord in leave it to waste. It's his creation.
Well, that's all right. But fortunately, if that's the case and he wants us to eat chicken feet, you just can't find them at the store anymore. Or brains. Food should not be gray. Food, gray is not a good color for food. How did we get on this? I was just going to tell you, I was raised on brains and eggs for breakfast. Ooh. When I got old enough to tell my parents I hated brains and eggs, I never ate it anymore. Now, after that, anybody got anything to say? Don, would you dismiss us?
Thank you.